Chapter 5. Glinda, the Good Witch of Long Island. Today is the worst Valentine's Day ever.
STB doesn't actually think this is nice, does she?
Mary whines. She's standing, legs spread a foot apart, as Judy, the middle-aged dressmaker, she's at least 25, contorts the heinous pastel pink material around Mary's overdeveloped body. I shake my head. Of course not. She wants us to look like pink doilies. That way she's the only one who looks good. And she will definitely look amazing. She spent $10,000 on her wedding dress. I heard her bragging about it to one of her friends. Mary looks seriously fed up with being prodded.
I bet Prissy doesn't have to wear this. Hers is probably adorable.
Actually, Judy says, taking a pin from her mouth and making us realize she is listening to our conversation, her dress is a miniature version of yours. Your arms are so toned, Mary. You must be an athlete. She's a brown belt in Taekwondo, I brag. She'll probably be a black belt within a year. She could be one tomorrow if she wanted to. Wait a minute. With Mary's help, I could be one tomorrow. Mary squirms.
Why are there rods in the material?
It's boning to shape the dress over your breasts.
How can anything shape this getup? It's so ugly.
The bells on the door chime, and STB and mini-STB glide inside. STB normally stopped to get her morning iced coffee en route, but because we were running late, STB dropped us off first and then doubled back to Starbucks. I was trying to figure out how to use STB's blue liquid eyeliner and ended up making squiggly lines all around my lids. The removal required multiple washings. Naturally, STB waited until we were in the car and out of my dad's earshot before she yelled at me for ruining her schedule.
How are we in here?
She asks now. She's asking Judy, not us. She doesn't care how Mary and I are doing. Since I'm still in my jeans, I'm enjoying myself. The more annoyed Mary gets at STB, the better chance I'll have that she'll go for my making STB disappear plan.
I look revolting, Mary tells her.
Yes! STB almost chokes on her coffee.
What kind of thing is that to say? How can you insult Judy like that?
Judy, I apologize. Personally, I think it was the material Mary was insulting, not the craftswoman, but hey, why diffuse a situation that's working in my favor? Prissy is sitting cross-legged on the floor, caressing the bottom of Mary's dress.
It's so pretty and pink is pretty, and my friend Nora has a pink dress and a purple dress and...
STB motions for Prissy to be quiet and then turns to me. Let me guess, you're not happy either. Actually, I'm in a terrific mood.
Hard to tell before it's finished, I say diplomatically.
Mary gives me the evil eye in the full-length mirror. She'd better not retaliate and suggest I fall on my butt.
But, I add, I'm not sure if I'm crazy about the material.
Both Judy and STB gasp.
What do you mean? STB asks. It's lace and raw silk. The material alone for each dress costs $300.
$300 for doilies?
Money, Mary says, which could have been better used in Somalia to help feed starving children.
Or to purchase an Izzy Simpson dress. STB ignores her and fingers a swatch of the material.
Rachel's right. You can't judge the dress before it's finished. You'll both look adorable, like dolls.
Does she realize that doesn't help?
I have 16 dolls,
Prissy pipes up, and then starts counting on her fingers.
Sandy and Mandy and Randy and Dandy and Princess.
When she runs out of fingers, she stops reciting and remains quiet, contemplating her dilemma.
Fantastic, Mary snaps. I've always dreamed of looking like Barbie.
I wouldn't mind that. Barbie has excellent measurements. STB takes a long swig of her coffee, then places it down on a table.
Mary, how are your fingers?
Mary clamps her hands shut.
Fine.
STB picks up Mary's right hand and pries it open. She does another one of her gasps.
With all her heavy breathing, you'd think she was on the Stairmaster.
What am I going to do with you?
Miri shakes her off.
They're my nails, and I can bite them if I want to.
She's getting angrier by the second. This is amazing. My sister doesn't dislike anyone the way she does STB. Before my dad started dating STB, I don't think I ever heard Miri tell anyone off. STB and Miri embark on a stare down worthy of a Hollywood action movie. Neither blinks. Meanwhile, Prissy has finally stopped talking to herself and is now doing what she always does when she thinks her mother isn't looking, carefully picking her nose. It's kind of cute to watch because she has such small fingers. You'd think STB would be more concerned with that than with Miri's nails. Suddenly, I feel the newly familiar rush of cold, and I look back at Miri and notice that her lips are doing that pursed thing. Uh-oh. I twist my head back to STB as her iced coffee slowly rises from the table beside her. Yikes! I leap toward the plastic cup and haul it down to safety before anyone can see. The stare down is over because everyone's eyes are now on me. I take a long sip. Mmm, this is delicious, I say, while narrowing my eyes at my blushing sister. My turn to change now, right? And then, before anyone can respond, I hurry to the dressing room. Crisis averted. And minus the STB cooties, the coffee was tasty. I take off my jeans and drape myself in my very own pink life-size doily. Despite the hideousness of the dress, the truth is, I'm finding the whole from material to dress process intriguing. Maybe I'll learn to sew. How awesome would that be? I'd be able to make anything I want, rip off all the hottest designs. People would think I spent hundreds, no, thousands on my outfits. I gingerly kick off my shoes so I won't step all over the material. I could even make my own labels. Rachel, and sew them inside. Or on the outside, like all the expensive designers do. Rachel would come to mean chic. Vogue would feature my creations, and I would become internationally famous. Jewel would beg to be included in my televised primetime biography. Ouch! It feels as if I just stepped on a pin. Ouch! 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 That killed. I hate anything that pricks the skin. How am I supposed to become a world-famous seamstress when I hate pins? Maybe I'll get Miri to poof up the designer clothes for me, since magic is practically flying out of her these days. But I suppose she'll want to share the glory. Fine, we'll call the label Michelle. I step outside, careful to avoid more pin foliage. Miri gives me a sheepish smile as I pass her. She's definitely almost primed for the plan. Arms out, Judy says when I stand in front of her. I comply like a scarecrow. The truth is, I'm relieved to report my reflection isn't that scary. The dress makes me resemble Glinda from The Wizard of Oz. I look kind of pretty. Except for a small zit above my eyebrow, my complexion is relatively clear. My nose is small. My eyebrows have a nice arch. I wiggle them in the mirror. My eyes are pretty big. Too bad they're boringly brown. My teeth are straight and white, so despite my too thin lips, I have a nice-ish smile. We don't need boning for you, Judy comments, interrupting my critical analysis. We don't? I ask, watching myself purse my lips. That's how I'll look when I'm finally kissing someone, or casting a spell when my powers kick in. Why don't we? STB sighs. Because you don't have breasts. Well, I never. But I might have breasts by the time of the wedding. STB snorts. Rachel, it's in 7 weeks. These things happen fast, you know. One day you're flat, and the next day, boom, you're bursting out of your double D bra. Do what you think is best, but don't get angry at me if we have to scrap the dress and start again at the last minute because of my inevitable blossoming. These people need to have some faith. STB throws up her hands. Give her boning.
Can I have some too, Mommy? Prissy asks. I want boning.
Yes, sweet pea. You can have whatever you want.
If she gets breasts before I do, I'll use the boning to make myself a noose. The nails argument resumes the moment we are in the car.
I want you to try that special polish again, the kind that tastes bad,
STB tells Miri. I'm sitting next to STB in the front seat. Prissy is singing some highly inappropriate pop music lyrics to herself in the back, and Miri is sitting behind me, staring vacantly out the window.
No, she answers. It doesn't work.
If you stopped biting, it would. I don't know how you nibbled through that polish.
It was pretty gross. Well, I had to try some, didn't I? I just put a drop on my thumb and licked it. And then again on my pinky, in case size affected taste.
If she stopped biting, I explain with forced patience, then it wouldn't need to work.
Come on, STB, you can be meaner than this.
But it's not just the biting that's the problem, I say, goading her. She rips them, too.
STB gasps. Miri kicks the back of my seat.
You rip them? They're not old checks. They're your precious hands. This has got to stop.
Miri stays silent for a few seconds and then explodes.
Why do you care so much? They're my nails, mine, and I can do whatever I want with them.
Yes.
STB reaches over her seat and wags her finger at Miri.
No, you can't. You don't always know what's in your best interest.
Since Miri could turn STB into a toad at any moment, STB obviously doesn't know what's in her best interest.
You can't tell me what to do, Miri grumbles. You're not my mother.
Ah, the infamous not my mother line. Silly Miri. Turning her into a toad would be far more original. When we return to the house, Miri runs up to our room and slams the door. I'll give her some space to seethe privately, get her really worked up. Maybe a half hour or so. And then I'll strike with part one of the plan. Insert evil laugh. I would do one, but I've tried it and I sound like a constipated frog. My dad can do a great one, but this is hardly the time to ask him. And anyway, he's at the office, even though STB hates for him to work when we are here. She hates having to entertain us all day without him. Not that she'd ever tell him that. Oh, no. She prefers to fume silently as though it's our fault. I decide to give Miri 30 minutes tops of solo stewing time. Maybe I'll watch some TV. I plop myself onto the couch in the living room and turn on the tube. Flip, flip, flip. Nothing but infomercials, reality TV, and reruns. Hey, maybe Bewitched is on. I'll be able to give Miri some pointers. Nope, just Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Forget that. I don't want to give her any dangerous ideas. What to do, what to do? I guess I could start my homework. I have an English assignment for Monday. I'm supposed to analyze Yeats's poetry for techniques such as alliteration. Dull, dreary, drudgery. Plight, plan, plot. I know it's been only 6 minutes, but honestly, I think Miri has had more than enough time alone. I enter the room to find her lying on her bed, legs at a right angle straight up against the wall, A-squared propped upright on her lap. I know this is a weird way to read, but we've both been doing it for years. It does seem a little bat-like, now that she's a witch. I can't believe Dad is marrying her, she complains as I lie down beside her. Perfect. She's primed for part one.
He doesn't have to marry her,
I say in my casual voice. She smirks.
Then when will we wear our pink doily dresses?
Aha, here's my opening.
If the wedding is canceled, we will never have to wear them.
Ever. Except on Halloween, if we're so inclined. You can dress up as Glinda the Good Witch of the North. She raises an eyebrow.
And why would the wedding get canceled?
When I was 7, I begged my mom to let me dress up as Glinda for Halloween, but she insisted that the Glinda costumes were all sold out and that I'd have to settle for going as a fairy princess. At the time, I believed her. Now I know different.
She was afraid that if I dressed like a witch, I would somehow will my magic into being. I can't believe she tried to thwart my powers. I can't believe a lot of what my mother did, or didn't do. She's a witch. She could have cast spells to make me happy. Like the time I wanted to get tickets to a concert at Roseland, but they were sold out. She could have whipped up 2 more, plus backstage passes. She should have stopped me from ever getting hurt. She could have stopped my dad from divorcing her. The back of my neck stiffens. I haven't forgotten that early morning conversation about experiencing the good and bad, but still, why not make life picture perfect? Because, I say now, taking a deep breath, we're going to put a spell on Dad. If my mom wants to ignore the tools available to her, then that's her problem. Not mine and not Miri's, if I can help it. Miri raises the other eyebrow. We're? She has to rub it in, doesn't she? Fine. You put a spell on Dad. How did I know that would be your solution? Because you're psychic as well as a witch? Or because Mom warned me that you'd try to get me to use magic? She shakes her head. No, I can't do it. I can't use spells to manipulate our father. It's not right. Strike out. Okay, no need to panic. Obviously, a goody-goody like her needs time to let the idea seep in. And plenty more STB aggravation is sure to come. I don't have to wait long. Later, when we are called downstairs for what we assume is dinner, STB and Prissy are sitting, arms perfectly crossed, on the white suede couch. My dad is sitting in a chair, wearing a hideous red and brown striped shirt. He has the worst taste in clothes. He always asks us how he looks, and we all say fine, because none of us wants to be the first to tell him he has bad taste. What's going on? I ask. They're acting creepy. I swear, if they tell us they're witches too, I am seriously going to lose it. Miri, my dad begins, rubbing the shiny bald spot on the back of his head. Please take a seat. My eyes meet Miri's and we sit down. Uh-oh, did they hear me scheming? Did Miri inadvertently put a hex on STB? Is she no longer able to speak, but capable only of high-pitched ribbits now? We are very worried, my father says, his forehead crinkling in actual concern, about the health of your fingers. Miri flushes bright red. I laugh. It's a nail-biting intervention. Chewing your fingers, my father continues, can lead to damaged cuticles and infections, not to mention all the germs you allow into your mouth because they were on your hands. I bet STB looked that up on the internet and scared my dad. The woman will stop at nothing to get what she wants. Miri's eyes are quickly filling to the rims with water, like clogged toilets. I want to help you, honey. At this point, he pats my sister on the head. We've considered treatments, and Jennifer has come up with an excellent plan. He points his chin toward the coffee table, where a box of Band-Aids lies. STB runs her perfectly manicured nails through her coiffed blonde hair, then says, We're going to wrap each of your fingers so you don't bite. That is so embarrassing. Perfect! God, I really hope Miri can't secretly read my mind. Miri opens her mouth, then closes it. I think she's too upset to speak. She's looking like Drew Barrymore in Firestarter, and I'm getting nervous that she might set the house aflame telepathically. Prissy rocks back and forth in her spot.
Miri, biting your nails is yucky.
She fans out her little French manicured fingers.
Don't you want pretty nails like me?
It's too much. Too awful. I have to help. Dad, I hardly think these drastic measures are necessary.
Don't start, Rachel, he says, shushing me. They are. Now, Miri, give Jennifer your hand so she can wrap your fingers.
STB smiles a toothy victory smile. And I don't want to see you picking them off.
Dad,
Miri whines.
I don't think.
But I do, he says. And I want you to start taking the B-complex vitamin biotin, which strengthens nails. Did I mention that my father thinks vitamins are the cure for everything? and I'm your father. I can tell you what to do.
Oh, burn! STB totally told on Miri.
STB opens the Band-Aid box and grabs Miri's hand.
Could be worse, I whisper, rubbing Miri's back. At least they're plain.
She could have listened to Prissy and bought the Disney princess once.
After dinner, Miri and I are lounging in front of the TV when I flip the channel and realize that Star Wars Episode 4, the first one ever made, is just about to start.
Dad! I shout. Star Wars is on television! Come watch! Dad, Star Wars!
This is awesome, Miri says.
My dad runs down the stairs full of energy.
It is? Make room for me, girls.
He squeezes in between us on the couch. I unfold a multicolored blanket and toss it over our legs. He puts an arm around each of us, and we lean into him. When the electric blue words come on screen, we all recite, "A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away." Then we hold our breath. Wait for it. Wait for it. We belt out the music as loudly as we can, like we always do. STB, followed by Prissy, marches down the stairs.
What are you doing? Why are you making so much noise? Daniel, I thought we were going to review the wedding place cards tonight.
We can't, my dad says, not taking his eyes off the screen. Star Wars is on.
But we have the DVD. Can't we do the place cards first, and then you'll watch it later?
Watching it on DVD isn't the same as watching it on TV, I explain.
She's right, my dad says. We can do the place cards tomorrow. Come watch with us.
He pats the space next to me. STB shakes her head.
I was never into this movie, she says, and then disappears up the stairs.
How can he possibly marry her? My dad waves Prissy over and she sits on his lap.
What movie is this? She asks, bouncing. Who is that? Why is she wearing cinnamon buns on her head? Why?
Shh, my dad says. No talking except during the commercials.
Prissy tries watching for a few minutes, but then starts to squirm and heads back upstairs. And it's just the three of us, the way it should be. The second our father deposits us onto the train back to the city, Miri rips off the Band-Aids.
She,
thumb off,
is the,
index finger off,
most miserable,
middle finger off,
woman,
fourth finger off, no idea what that one's called,
in the,
pinky off,
entire world.
She is quite evil,
I happily agree.
Too bad it's about to become official. If only there were something we could do. La la la.
Miri stares steely-eyed ahead. Then she nods.
Okay, you're right. We need to get rid of her. I can't have Band-Aids applied to my fingers for the rest of my life.
Yes!
Part one in motion. I give her a nice big sisterly squeeze.
She's so tiny. Not that I'm so huge. Maybe after we're done rescuing our dad, I'll get her to make me taller, like 5'2", a giant. I pull A squared from her bag and she promptly starts biting her thumbnail. What, does she think I'm going to drop it or something? Plop. Oops. I pick it up off the grimy train floor.
Sorry.
Teehee. Here you go. Start looking for an anti-love spell. I put the book into her freshly bitten hands before either of us can do more damage. She flips through the pages.
I don't know if there are any anti-love spells. I haven't finished the first section yet.
Isn't there an index? There must be at least a glossary.
No.
Sigh. What you really need is the spellbook on CD-ROM. Miri taps me on the head.
Can we focus here? We need to get that witch out of our lives.
Witch, huh? I can't stop the grin.
You'll have to learn to watch your word choice. You can no longer use the word witch as a negative description.
She slaps her hand over her mouth.
How can I help?
I ask. I won't even bug my sister for the popularity spell today. I'll let her concentrate.
Just let me read.
I should start my poetry homework, but first I'll read about Robert Crown's new tour.
then poetry. I'll leave you alone so that you can work your... What's the word I'm looking for here? Oh, right. Magic. Tee-hee. I really crack myself up. She taps me on the shoulder.
What we're about to do is a big deal, huh?
We lock eyes.
Huge. Giant, she says.
Maybe she can read my mind.